But here's what's interesting. Meaning is something that's learned. We've learned to link or associate certain feelings to certain situations. For example, how many of you like to have, let's say, a Mercedes-Benz? How many like to have one of those? Ah, quite a few of you. Good. Question. Why do you want a Mercedes-Benz? Why do you want one? Think about it. And the answers I usually get are things like, well, because, you know, it's the best. And I'm the best, so I want the best. Or somebody will say something like, well, it because the feeling it'll give me. Or somebody will say, well, because it's good transportation. Right? The reality is, people don't buy needs. When you go to buy a Mercedes, you're not buying because you need a Mercedes. Now, the truth is, if you want something bad enough, it becomes a need, doesn't it? But the point is that a person buys a Mercedes. Now, not all people want them, by the way. You didn't all raise your hands. Some people don't. They go, what are you, stupid? I wouldn't want a Mercedes. I want a Hyundai. Why? Because, I mean, for that Mercedes, I could have 16 Hyundais. Right? I mean, why would I do that? That would be stupid. Now, one person would not buy a Mercedes because they associate buying a Mercedes is wasteful. It's stupid, which are forms of words we might call painful. Does that make sense? We have different words for pain. There are different levels of pain. Pain could be physical pain. It could be humiliation. It could be pain of frustration. It could be the pain of inconvenience. And some are more painful than others. That person links having a Mercedes would mean, you know, having this big payment, let's say, and that inconvenience and hassle, or it'd be not being intelligent, it'd be wasteful. So they're not going to do it. They're going to do a Hyundai because what do they want? They want a feeling of being intelligent. Okay? The person who wants a Mercedes, they got a whole different thing. They want prestige. They want knowing they're the best. They want other people to notice. They want status, let's say. So my point is this. But in selling, we cannot just assume we know what's going to be painful for one person and pleasurable for another. The part of the process of selling, obviously, then, is finding out that person's beliefs and values. Finding out, what do they link to things? See, when you walk in the room and if you introduce yourself and you say, hey, I'm a salesperson, guess what? Boom. Instantly, a lot of people have certain states they associate to salespeople that are less than pleasurable. They may associate salesperson equals pushy person who doesn't care and tries to manipulate me. And no matter who you are, immediately they get that feeling and they want to avoid being around you. So it's not personal, right? What you got to do, though, is change what people associate in order to change their behavior. So if you're trying to market a particular product, let's say, for example, I bought recently a BMW. And the reason I did it is, first of all, I needed a new car. No. I had a Mercedes-Benz, and, you know, I've had it for a while, and I was kind of bored with it, and, you know, the time was up on it. I had a lease on it. And I thought, well, I need to go get a new car. So I went to the Mercedes-Benz dealership, walked on in, looked at the car, same car. There was nothing really different on it, in my opinion, for me. It just didn't feel different to me. So I didn't feel any new wants being triggered. Are you following me? There was nothing there. It was like the same car, a little bigger engine, everything else, and it's going to cost me $20,000 more. So what am I associating to this? I'm associating more pain to buying than not buying. And you might want to make a note of that. If a person does not buy, it's really simply because of this. They associate more pain to buying than not buying. And if a person does buy, it's because they associate much more pleasure to buying than not buying. Buying means pleasure, not buying means pain. That's how to get someone to buy. Buying means pain, and not buying means pleasure is a way to make sure they do not follow through. Are you following me on these? So here I go, and I go to the dealership, and there's no want in me. I don't have a need. I don't have a pain. I don't have a problem to solve. I already have this car. I'm already satisfied. And what I'd like you to realize is that in order to get someone to do anything, in order to motivate them, what you really got to be able to do is get them to a point where they're dissatisfied with the way things are. I mean, think about it. If somebody is overweight and they're not changing, it's because they're not dissatisfied enough. Your job and my job in working with people is to find out what are their strong wants. Show them they're not getting it so they get dissatisfied enough. They feel a little hurt. They go, gosh, I really do want this. I really do want to be thin. I really do want to have something that's the best. And it becomes so strong that now they're compelled to really make a change. That is, make a purchase. That is, do something about it. See, if somebody just stays overweight, it's because no one has come in there and hurt them. I believe, and I know this doesn't sound great, and it may sound like, if you know me, different than how I think, but again, I think this is really the truth, that selling is the process of finding people's pain, disturbing them, stirring up their pain, making them feel the hurt, and then healing it through new sets of choices, usually in the form of your products or services. It's a hurt 'em and heal 'em business. If you doubt it, watch a commercial. The point is, that is the process. I call it the Dickens pattern, if you will. I believe that selling is a great deal of the Dickens pattern. In other words, Think about it. You saw the movie or read the book, hopefully, Christmas Carol. What happened? We had a guy, we had a prospect here who had no need, right? He made it clear. I don't need to have this experience of being with other people. I don't need, let's say the product was giving. I don't need to have any of this giving stuff. Bah, humbug. So that's probably the toughest client you're going to have, isn't it? Somebody has says, I have no need up front. They don't even want to hear your presentation. Stay away from me. How do you deal with that kind of person? Answer? Well, we're going to go through a detailed process, but the general answer is this. Number one, you got to find out enough about that person to find a problem that they have. You got to find a hurt. You got to find out what is something they want, but they're not getting. And they may say that there's nothing, but do you know a person alive who is without something that they want that they're not getting if you really, really probe and look? So you got to find, number one, a deep want or interest. And then number two, you got to disturb them. And number three, you got to show them how to solve it by using your product. Think about how they did it in A Christmas Carol. I have no need. I don't have this thing for giving. Well, what happened is these good salesmen arrived that evening. And what they did is they disturbed this man, didn't they? They showed up, and what they did is they made it really real to him that not having this product called giving in his life was going to create tremendous pain in his past that it already had, in the present right now, and in the future. Now, did they make this up? No, what they did was they asked him to go and have an experience. And we're going to show you how to do that in the selling process, how to get people to actually experience something they may not have been paying attention to. He was having pain, but he wasn't feeling it. So what these salesmen, these master salesmen, these ghosts did, is they came in and they opened the wound and they stirred him up. They made him hurt. They disturbed him, and they got him so disturbed that he was motivated to change. And motivating, once somebody's motivated to change, the rest is easy. All you do is offer them a choice, and they're excited, and they go for it. That's the process as I perceive selling. And what you might want to write in your notes is this, that an undisturbed prospect will not buy. That you need to make sure this person is disturbed. Now, disturbed doesn't mean negative. I'll give you an example. I was telling you about my 750 IL. Let me finish the story for you. I go there, and what happened? I was undisturbed. Are you following me? I went there, and having this car, it's not that much of a difference, so I didn't have a want. And the challenge that most salespeople run into is, number one, they treat everybody like they have the same wants, instead of finding out what is this person's real deep wants or interests. And everybody's got one. Everybody's got a want or interest, and they've got some aspect of it that's not being fulfilled. See, I'm here to tell you, people don't buy needs, they buy wants. That's what they buy. And by the way, you go, well, that's terrible. As a salesperson, I only want to sell what people really need. Their wants are needs for people. Those are the real needs. If all people ever did was buy what they needed, then we would be in a very deep depression. Because if you think about most of the purchases you make, I doubt very seriously if they're all really necessities. So let's be salespeople. Let's be persuaders by understanding that persuasion is not closing somebody. If you're having to close somebody hard at the end, it says one thing to me. You haven't motivated them enough up front. You haven't created enough want. So let's write some definitions here. One, what is persuasion? Persuasion is the process of getting your customer to clearly associate their most desired feelings or states to your product or service. So I'll say that again. Persuasion is the process of getting your customer to clearly associate their most desired feelings or states to your product or service. In other words, what we're saying here is if we want somebody to buy, we got to get them to link to our product the feelings they want most. And we've got to make it compelling and very real for them. And the second aspect of selling is we must get these people to associate not buying. In other words, if their association is, if I don't buy, it's going to mean pain. I'm going to miss this opportunity. I'm going to miss out on being able to use this right now. Someone else is going to have something I don't have. Now, you say, well, this sounds very status-oriented. I've just used these because they're humorous examples. But does it also happen in other elements, things that aren't so status-oriented? Think about it. What motivates all of your purchases? What's motivated you in the past?